be confused, Mr. Speaker, and I will tell you what lends to the confusion. Mr. Speaker, you alluded to the letter.
Member, what are you rising on?
A point of observation, pursuant to Standing Order 32.1.
Is this your point of order, and you're referring to Standing Order 32.1?
Mr. Speaker, you alluded in your precursor. You alluded to the letter written to members dated April 20th, 2012. The contents of that letter, Mr. Speaker, contradict the stipulations of the standing orders, which I wanted to bring to the Speaker's attention. And that, in that letter...
But remember, there will be no debate on my observations with regards to the rules.
I'm not debating your observations, Mr. Speaker. I'm bringing something to your attention, Mr. Speaker.
Under what rule are you bringing it to my attention?
Mr. Speaker, an observation pursuant to Standing Order 32.1 based on a letter which contains errors and contradicts the standing orders,
which I wanted
to bring to your attention.
Honourable Member, Order 32.1 reads, a member desiring to speak shall rise in his place, and if called upon, shall address his observations to the Speaker or Chairman. No member shall speak unless called upon by the Speaker or Chairman. Nothing I have said with regards to my opening remarks or my letter addresses Standing Order 32.1.
Mr. Speaker, with respect, Standing Order 32.1 says, and I, as you just read, that any member, I quote, any member desiring to speak shall rise in his place, and if called upon, addresses observations. The chair is yet to learn of my observations. The chair is yet to learn of my observations, so the chair is not in a position, with respect, to say that I have no observations to bring to the attention of the chair.
And remember, if you look at the heading under which Order 32 falls, it is the rules of debate. So what we are dealing with are the rules of the debate. Your observations will be your contributions to this Honourable House on the motion. So if you wish to utilize your time now to address this point, you are reminded that you are to speak once. So if you wish to proceed on the debate regarding what is before the motion before this House, please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, am I being told by the Chair that my observations would not be accommodated by the Chair at this point?
If it is observations on my pronouncements with regards to the conduct of this debate, then no, you are not permitted to speak.
But, Mr. Speaker, that's the whole point. I believe at least there should be a short investigative exercise to find out whether my observations are in order before the chair makes a ruling. But the chair apparently is predisposed into making a ruling. I have not brought my observations to the chair, but the chair says to me that I will not entertain your observations. But as you please, Mr. Speaker.
Honourable Member for Mikud South.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Not necessarily. Mr. Speaker, I stand to make a contribution on the estimates for 2012-2013 presented to this Honourable House. Mr. Speaker, generally, when I go through the estimates of 2012-2013, and look at the figures in that estimate in the amounts quoted for the various ministries and the various heads, I find, Mr. Speaker, that these figures or amounts do not inspire any hope for the people of St. Lucia as promised. For example, Mr. Speaker, I realize that in the estimates there are no specific line items that I see that will benefit Miko South directly. If we are to examine, first of all, the recurrent expenditure, generally it is seen that our recurrent expenditure exceeds our recurrent revenue, as seen here that the recurrent revenue is 922,135,621 dollars, whereas the recurrent expenditure is 962,938,100 dollars. This is not a healthy situation to start with, Mr. Speaker. But I suppose with better days to come, and the VAT, this situation will soon be reversed.
What?
The figures actually speak for themselves and are very revealing. However, I would like to make special reference to certain line items. First of all, I would like to start with the Ministry of Agriculture. That is starting on page 155 of your estimates. And in defining those heads, first of all, I would like to look at the fisheries program on page 172. Line item 124. Subsidies. Page 172, Fisheries Program Administration, line item 124, subsidies. And here, Mr. Speaker, is indicated that $500,000 is allotted to subsidies for the fisheries program. I wish to commend this. I think it's good. But I realize no such provisions were made for plant and livestock farmers. And in this crisis situation, I think they too would like some kind of subsidy to help them manage the affairs of their farm and to manage their own lives. Under recurrent expenditure to Mr. Speaker, I would like to go to Heritage and Creative Industries on page 297, line item 120, which deals with grants and contributions. And Mr. Speaker, I realize that it's Creative Industries 297. Line item 120. 297, I see.
That's correct. Okay, 300. Yeah. Yes. Okay. We see, Mr. Speaker, that for the year 2012-2013, the sum of 3,488,000 dollars have been allotted to grants and contribution, which means that there is a decrease over the revised amount in 2011-2012, and the decrease is quite substantial. When you do the subtraction here, you will find that the decrease amounts to $1,345,663. To me, this is a substantial decrease. When we look at the breakdown, we realize that taking the actual amount for 2011 and 2012, the figures would be the same. But what I think is going to happen, Mr. Speaker, with this decrease in the amount, some adjustments may have to be made, especially in terms of carnival celebrations, because the amount, I think, that was quoted initially for carnival celebrations had to be readjusted in order to bring about a successful carnival celebration. So I think this amount is a substantial decrease, and I think that needs to be looked at some point. Under the Ministry of Education and Ministry of Education, Human Resource Development and Labour, we want to look at early childhood education, page 342. Okay. Mr. Speaker, I am concerned that this allocation has been reduced instead of being increased. And I don't think this decrease augurs well for this sector, especially, Mr. Speaker, with the growing impact and demand of the Roving Caregivers program. This is going to affect them even more. This program has been affected by the lack of funding. This program used to be funded by the Van Lee Foundation, and I think that the funding is coming to an end, or has come to an end in December. And with a decrease in the amount allotted to early childhood, it means that this program may suffer tremendously. And I think that program has impacted very well on the St. Lucian population, especially in the rural areas, deprived rural areas. And I think something needs to be done to keep that program going, to ensure that that program does not come to an end. So maybe this is an area that can be looked at again. On the secondary education, page 349, on subsidies, Mr. Speaker, I'm pleased to note that this was retained. And that the amount was not decreased. But I also thought that with the problem of unemployment that we are hearing about all the time, the social ills that face a number of our communities, I thought that there would be an increase in this amount to ensure that students from deprived homes, underprivileged students, would attend school daily. This subsidy is used for as transport subsidy, book subsidy, and I hope, Mr. Speaker, it does not include cost of laptops promised to form for students. I didn't see this appear anywhere in the budget, that laptops were promised to the form for students. It did not appear, and I hope that this subsidy would not be used to purchase laptops for form for students, and it would be used mainly for transport subsidy and books, so that some of the children who have difficulty in going to school on a daily basis would be able to attend school. And I think there is testimony at the secondary schools that a number of students who could not attend school or who came to school late because of lack of transportation are performing a lot better, in that they attend school more regularly and they attend school a lot earlier. So I'm happy that this subsidy was retained, Mr. Speaker. Primary and secondary schools, I think it was the page. It deals with utilities in each case, primary school and secondary school utilities. I realize, Mr. Speaker, that the amount for utilities have been increased substantially. Now, this is expected because with the rising cost of fuel, you must increase your utility allocations to meet the cost of the rising fuel. But, Mr. Speaker, I want to say that this is very good, but there is something I think we need to look at, especially at the secondary school, and that is wastage. This is something that has been happening. It is known where, especially on weekends, where lights are left on in all classes at some secondary schools, both day and night, for the whole weekend. And if that can be curtailed, I think some monies can be saved under this heading to put back into the education system for some other useful purpose. So I'm saying this is very good, the increase is good, but at the same time we need to note and look out for wastage. Under local government, page 328, line 102, wages. This amount for this head decreased from the revised amount of 2011 and to 2012 from 7,002,652 in 2011-2012 to $6,847,672 in 2012-2013. This decrease, I realize, was mainly made to wages. Now, with the establishment of the constituency councils and the potential to increase from 9 to 15 members and possible additional wage earners. The decrease in this amount means that a number of persons who depended for their daily bread at the local government level may not be able to do so. Now, I don't think this is very good, especially as we have always complained about the high unemployment rate in St. Lucia. And if we are speaking about high unemployment in St. Lucia, the persons who earn the wages are the persons who should benefit from employment. Sometimes they are the most vulnerable persons. They are the most deprived. And that is where we cut. We cut at that level. I don't think this augurs well for our people, Mr. Speaker. Whilst I'm on this, it also occurred to me that I left out a decrease in the wages amount allotted for the feeding program on page 364. A decrease of $207,312 from $1,202,718 revised in 2011-2012 to $975,406 in 2012-2013. Again, wages cut. Who suffers? Our most deprived persons. And if we are serious and we keep complaining about lack of employment, why do we cut wages? Why do we cut wages, Mr. Speaker? Why do we do that? And we realize that two new ministries have been created. There have been employment at the higher level with new permanent secretaries. But why do we cut wages where our people are most vulnerable?
Mr. Speaker, what page is it
on? I did
page 364.
My page.
Page one.
364.
Wages?
We were talking about wages on the local government, which was on 368, item 102, wages. Then I also referred to wages on the school feeding program on page 364.
You must look at the actual.
Look at the actual.
Mr. Speaker, on page 364, the honorable minister is talking about head activity, the member activity 102 on the wages, activity 102 school feeding program. Mm-hmm. The estimates for 2012-2013, 975,406, mm-hmm. and the actual for 2010-11 is $900,000. Actually, it's an increase.
No, but we look. I said
wages.
Look at the revise. Look at the revise.
No, but what do you actually spend?
What does actually spend?
Honourable members, this is a perfect example of how the reply or a clarification provided in the rules would operate. So allow the member to continue his contribution, make notes, and then you have a right to clarify or reply if necessary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under we're still with local government. Operating and maintenance service, item 116, this amount has also been decreased from the revised amount of 3,014,251 in 2011-2012 to $2,842,000 in 2012-2013. Now, with again, with the potential for many more councillors, in fact, you have, instead of having one council for Antler and Canaries, you have two now. You are proposing mayors for Beaufort, Souffre, and Grosley, but you are cutting. So how do you cater for all those increases? How do you cater for that? That's my only question, and I'm just inquiring. Same page, 328, item 116, operating and maintenance service. Under that same page, item 120, grants and contribution. The amount allotted remained the same for both years. And again, if you are increasing in terms of numbers, number of councillors, if you are increasing in terms of numbers of workers, how do you propose? What is something you need to explain? What is that is going to be cut? Because once you increase your number of councillors and your number of workers and the amount remains the same, something has to be cut. It doesn't say just give the figures. I'm just trying to ask questions. On page 329, on the local government still, we see 130, item 130, public assistance. We realize that $5,550,000 have been allocated to this heading. But, Mr. Speaker, I had to scrutinize the estimates to realize, I was wondering what this public assistance meant. But I don't know whether I am correct to assume that it replaces the welfare assistance that was attached to the Ministry of Health. It was shifted. Okay. Well, as I said, it took me some time to scrutinize the estimates to realize that this replaced the welfare assistance program that was under the Ministry of Health. So it was transferred. Well, I had to go through the Ministry of Health to realize that. This, I think, is good to continue to provide assistance, welfare assistance, especially to the elderly, the disabled, those children who have no parents to take care of them. And I also realize that there is a promise that this program would be reviewed. I have no problems in reviewing the program, but in reviewing that program, I am hoping that all it will do is to ensure that the most needy persons benefit from it, and that all partisan politics will be put aside in that case. We're looking at those persons who are needy, those persons who are vulnerable, the disabled, the sickly, the elderly. These are the persons we are going to be concerned with, not persons who are on that side of the fence or on that side of the fence. So in that review, I'm hoping that consideration is given to those persons who are really needy. Let's go on to capital expenditure, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, after going through the estimates, I realize that the allocations for major and ongoing projects, especially for some sectors, have been considerably decreased in relation to the estimated cost of the project itself. Let me highlight some of those. And I want to begin with the Ministry of Agriculture. Page, I think it's 500. Let's see. Okay, yes, 500. Ministry of Agriculture, Food Production, Fisheries, and Rural Development. And I want to highlight item lines 3, 4, 6, 9, 13, 14, and 16. Line item 3, establishment of national marketing infrastructure. The project cost, as you see here, is $5,780,754, and allotted was $2 million. To this project. Establishment of agro facility, project cost is $3,754,763, allotted $854,000. Youth agri entrepreneurial project, $5,323,763, allotted $1,150,174. Management of Black Sikatoka, project cost $12,075,443, allotted $5,287,363. Meat processing plant, project cost $13,800,000. Allotted $3,260,602 with an accumulated balance of $4,848,008 by March 31st, 2013. 14, line 14, livestock sector repositioning program. The project costs $18,037,673. Allotted $1 million. And the Fisheries Development Program, project cost $2,978,300, allotted $200,000. Mr. Speaker, all of those projects, in my mind, are vital to the development of the agricultural sector in St. Lucia, and should be given prominent regard. I know for sure that these projects, all of them, impact and affect the farmers in my constituency, in one way or the other, some more than the others, but they are affected in one way by those projects. For example, Mr. Speaker, there is an agro-processing plant that is being developed or being set up in the Miku South constituency, Aranje. That is an agro-processing program for the women in the region, the eastern region, southern region, and they obtain assistance from ICA or ICA, and then the Ministry of Agriculture is supposed to facilitate them. I know there are the place is ready, machinery is there, but I saw nothing in the estimates that suggests that this will come into operation. This is the location is Ager Agricultural Rural Center. Ager is also included in the agri-entrepreneurial program, whereby young persons are encouraged to come back into the agricultural sector by providing them with land owned by government and assistance to set up farms and produce so that they can earn a living and also help to revive the agricultural industry. I know assistance was given by the Caribbean Development Fund, CDF, to the tune of $3.66 million. The private sector was supposed to contribute $1.7 million. And with the assistance of the Ministry of Agriculture, I know the background work has been done, but I saw only a small amount put for this project or this program, and I don't even see Ager included in this program. And there is the facility there, and there is also land surrounding this rural center. So I would like to know what is happening to this project or this program. I also realized that in that same area there is a cocoa processing plant or fermenting plant, whatever name you want to call it, already established with machinery set up. And Mr. Speaker, cocoa is now in demand, high demand on the world market.
Honourable Member, you've been doing extremely well so far, but now I think you are straying into
it's the same agri entrepreneurial program based in the same area, on the same area in Ager.
Under what head?
Under an agri entrepreneurial. I gave the head a while ago. This is what I'm talking. It's head 6, capital expenditure, page 500. No, head 6. Okay, Mr. Speaker, may I?
Yes, proceed.
Okay. Mr. Speaker, I also mentioned the Black Sikatoka program, where it has been said publicly that over $12 million has been injected for that program. But in the estimates, Mr. Speaker, we are only realizing that $12 million was only a proposed figure, and was not injected. Because we are seeing that in the estimates, only...
And remember, somebody's cell phone is on. Please switch it off. It is interfering with the audio.
We only realize that $5 million $287,363 have been allotted in the estimate to fight and combat this dreadful disease. Mr. Speaker, I am wondering why the $12 million was put into the public domain when actually it's only $5 million that has been estimated for that project. Are we trying to deceive the farmers, or what are we trying to do? Mr. Speaker, I also understand, looking at the news, that the Ministry of Agriculture has now agreed to accept the offer of assistance to help fight and combat that disease from the Taiwanese government. I think if that is done, I think that's good. It's commendable that we are getting help to fight this disease which affects the farmers. Not only the black, but there's also the yellow, which has been a constant problem for the farmers. So the black only compounds the situation. So I'm happy if that is true, that the Taiwanese are willing to help, and we have accepted that offer to assist us in fighting that disease. But, Mr. Speaker, the Ministry of Agriculture, I think, did some work to combat these diseases with the help of ICA. I think some work was done last year to help combat this disease. There was a draft regulatory framework and a monitoring system for the diseases. They also helped with equipment, protective gears, pesticides. The ministry itself, after Thomas, you know, that was when the disease, I think, it compounded the problem. Farmers were helped with financial assistance to chop down their bananas, replant, do drainage, spray oil for spraying their fields. I think all these things are necessary. And to combat this disease, I think we need the assistance of everyone who is willing to give it to us, as long as it is going to help bring control. I don't think we should be selective as to who. Once they are willing and it is going to help to control the disease, so that our production in the banana area and in the planting will increase. And I think I'm happy to note that I heard the Minister of Agriculture saying that there has been an increase in the production of bananas despite the disease, and I think that augurs well for the banana farmers. And if we continue this way, eventually we will bring up our production to respectable totals. Mr. Speaker. Sorry. For the meat processing facility, which I mentioned on the line, make sure I have it right. Line item 13. I just want to find out whether a completion date has been arrived at. This is necessary since it is shown that there is going to be a large accumulated balance at the end of March 31st, 2013. According to the estimates I see, it shows there will be a balance of for the livestock repositioning program, line item 14, the project cost being over 18 million and the amount allotted was 1 million. I'm wondering why more emphasis was not put on this project or this program, because this program is going to complement the meat processing facility. And I know already large sums have been spent in developing the livestock program at Bosejun Beaufort. You already have livestock there, cows and sheep, goat, pigs and so on. I'm wondering whether we are going to keep that development going or whether we are going to pay scant regard to the development of livestock in Bosejun. Because you remember at one point in time that the Bosejun livestock program was completely abandoned. There was nothing left, and there was actually this revival of the livestock program. I'm wondering whether we are going to take it on seriously or whether we by injecting $1 million, we decide to let it go back into the previous stage of being abandoned. Okay, then we go on to local government, page 507. Local community projects, item 13, where we see that $2,300,000 have been allocated for that. But he did not say what kind of projects that we are going to have, how that money will be distributed, who's going to get the bigger share, because it seems it's a block. These two things are blocked for all the communities. So we are not sure. Maybe in that $2,300,000, maybe Miku South may not get anything. I'm not sure, because he doesn't say, well, $200,000 or $100,000 goes towards Miku South for projects and development. But that I mean would not be something that would be strange to me anyway. But I'm wondering whether that is a significant amount based on the number of projects that were undertaken within the various communities in St. Lucia just recently. And of course we know that according to the new format, this will be managed by the constituency councils. So it will be good to know whether Miku South features at all into that. Mr. Speaker, let me say, well, I see the Minister for Local Government around, but today is the swearing of the councillors in Miku South.
Get an invite here. You see that getting
invited? Yeah,
let's work together.
Yeah. Honourable Member, yeah. You have 15 minutes remaining to complete your contribution.
I will complete it. Mr. Speaker, under local government, we have development of Northern Region Cemeteries. Let me see what item is this. Okay. We see allotted to this head $300,000, and it says clearly Northern Region Cemeteries, but the Northern Region Cemeteries did not indicate what areas, so we're not sure whether it's Babunu, Gruzile, Kasus, whatever the case may be.
And Beaufort Square is 1.5.
But let me say, Mr. Speaker, I see nothing for Southern, Western, or Eastern cemeteries.
National thing.
And the problem of cemeteries does not only exist in the North. We have an acute problem in the Eastern Belt. Miku is overcrowded. I don't think they can bury persons in Miku village. The Deriso cemetery is congested. It's being used by the Deriso community and the Belvi community. I know, Mr. Speaker, provisions were made to acquire land to upgrade that cemetery, and I see nothing in the estimates to suggest that something is being done. But I can tell you, burying the dead may not be important, but it's urgent. It's urgent, and I say urgent because you cannot leave the dead on the ground.
There are some dead inside the
So, I'm wondering whether, in looking at allocations for cemeteries, whether any thought was given to the regions outside of Castries, because we have some serious problems there, and I think these need to be addressed. Quickly, I don't want to take more time. Under Ministry of Education, Human Resource Development and Labour, page 508. Already the pattern remains the same of the within the estimates of the of decreased amounts, but I can say in some areas substantial sums were placed to enhance the education system. But Mr. Speaker, I would like to take the line item upgrading of South Africa's Community College. There was a project cost for seed money to prepare of $2,547,000, and allotted was only $547,000 were allotted. Now that is a very significant decrease. But that says, well, it's to me, that says to me that either the government has not decided on what must happen, but I'm saying I would be happy if a policy statement would be made as to the upgrading of South Africa Police Community College. I understand from the grapevines that the all consultancies for the upgrading has been suspended, some of them very near their completion, just about 2 weeks ago being completed, was stopped, and that the process has been put on hold. So it would be good if we would be told what is going to happen, because what I realize is that whilst we have difficulty in upgrading SAFA, other universities are flourishing, making money off St. Lucia. Many and many of our St. Lucian persons are not able to access university places because of the cost. And it would be good if they could have a university in their country which would minimize the cost of attendance for them. I hope that we are not helping to promote other universities at the expense of our own. But I'm just speaking my mind right now. I hope we're not doing this, and I hope all we do for the benefit of our people, the benefit of our students, especially those who come from underprivileged homes, who probably may never have a chance to attend a university, that they be given the opportunity to do so. Ministry of Health, Wellness, Human Services and Gender Relations, that's my last section, Mr. Speaker. Page 510, repairs of health centers. I see allotted for the repairs of health centers $600,000. I know, Mr. Speaker, that there is a health center in my constituency where estimates have been done, valuations have been done for the repair, and that is the Tiroshe Multipurpose Center in Miku. And that center is going, is deteriorating at a rapid rate. And we are hoping that this year that center would be fixed. If it is not fixed, I am afraid that it might go into an utter state of disrepair. I remember some time ago it was suggested that the people of Tiroshe go to Miku, to the health center, because that health center was already in a bad shape. Now I don't think that's possible because Miku itself has no health center. So I don't know whether they will probably be able to bus them to Viewfort or St. Jude's or wherever the case may be. But if this something is not done, then the people, I'm afraid, of Tiroshe Miku will have, especially I'm concerned about the elderly and the sickly, will have problems in accessing medical attention. So I'm putting this. I know valuation has been made. It has been sitting in the Ministry of Health, but I saw nothing about it. And Mr. Speaker, let me close as I say, we in Miku South, the people of Miku South, we're not very hopeful at all, but we are courageous people. We are resilient people, and as I said, in the estimates, we see nothing that would benefit us directly. But, Mr. Speaker, as my people says, there's nothing much we can do. It's a hush-mouth budget, so we take it or leave it. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.